Stephen, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much, Jane. Great to be here.
You're one of several curators working together for an important show opening next Friday, a show that marks the 25th anniversary of a key event in the CAC's own history. Tell us about After the Moment, Reflections on Robert Mapplethorpe, and why seven curators are involved in the exhibition.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, as you mentioned, this is the 25th anniversary of the showing of The Perfect Moment, which was Robert Mapplethorpe's survey exhibition here in 1990. And of course, we all know what happened, that it became this landmark moment, for both better or for worse, when Dennis Berry was indicted on charges of obscenity and thankfully acquitted. But it did very much became a landmark moment, really, in art history and in the ongoing struggle, ongoing dialogue and debate between art and censorship and what freedom of expression means today. And so we wanted, for this important anniversary, it was a perfect occasion to look back, but also look forward. And I know that I've only been in Cincinnati for a couple of years, but everyone has a different story, has a different memory. They are as numerous as there are citizens in Cincinnati. So we wanted this to be a larger conversation. It felt like it couldn't be contained with just one curator. And so the CAC reached out to six co-curators, as you mentioned, and they're from Indiana, Kentucky, as well as Ohio. And each of them were tasked with selecting five artists to create new work that reflects upon the post-Mapplethorpe landscape. And so rather than just restaging The Perfect Moment, we wanted to look at what art making looks like in this particular region 25 years later. What did Mapplethorpe allow? What did Mapplethorpe make more sensitive? And so it feels invigorating to be looking at new work and to really wrestling with these ideas through the lens of contemporary artists. So that's kind of the primary foundation of After the Moment.
So you feel as though there's a good deal of advance interest in this exhibition?
Very much so. And obviously that just comes, I think, with Mapplethorpe and what The Perfect Moment means, because it has become an entity unto itself. It's the artist, it's the exhibition, it's the controversy, it's the trial. And we've been getting a lot of interest, the Washington Post, the Smithsonian. There's going to be some major articles coming out, because I think everyone is looking at Cincinnati again and saying, what has changed? What remains the same? What does art making and the presentation of art look like in this city? And so we didn't want to pass up this occasion. I think in a lot of ways, Mapplethorpe may still be an open wound for some, and yet the issues that he and his artwork raised are so timely and so relevant today that this was the occasion and we wanted to make the most of it.
What's the closing date here, and will it appear elsewhere, or is the CAC the only venue?
Unfortunately, the CAC is the only venue. It is up until March 13th of 2016, so there is some time to see it, and we will be doing a program of gallery walkthroughs. So all of the artists that are involved will be in the gallery, able to speak about their work, and each of the pieces will also have an artist statement. Because this is so much, Jane, about a dialogue, and I wanted to have those conversations for this to really be a catalyst and a generator for people to share what they think about and what they're negotiating and what they're navigating today. And I should also mention that the show incorporates some historical work. So some artists that chose to basically remove their work in 1990, they didn't want to show it because it was just too tumultuous an environment, are now bringing their work to Cincinnati. So we'll have a historical section. And we also had an open call, so artists of any age, background, color, and culture could apply. And we've selected two open call winners to also contribute work into this exhibition. So I'm really proud and really excited about the expansiveness and sort of the democratic nature that we wanted to really open this up and to become a hub and a forum for people to have these conversations.
So while it's historical, it's still very contemporary.
Exactly.
In that you're bringing it into today. It sounds like a fascinating kind of exploration of this whole difficult question.
Thank you. Yeah, you really nailed it. We were at this confluence of anniversaries. We've just celebrated the 10th anniversary of the building, the 75th anniversary of the organization, and now the 25th anniversary of probably our most iconic and most memorable exhibition. But we really are interested in, rather than just looking to the past, really thinking about what these things mean in the present and the course that they're charting for the future. And so, like you say, I'm really excited that this has become such a generator. It's not just something that's in the past. It's very much of the moment of today.
You have another show opening Friday that sounds really interesting. It's a Mexican artist who's new to me and who's created a body of work in response to the architecture of the space within the CAC's building. What's going on in this show?
This is something that I really love about the CAC. We really take a lot of pride and motivation in giving artists that are outside of the United States their first major American exposure or exhibition. And so this exhibition you're talking about, Pia Camille, which is curated by Justine Ludwig, our former adjunct curator at the CAC, who's now in Dallas, is really giving Pia her first major American museum solo exhibition. And afterwards, that same work will be traveling to New York to the new museum. So it's a really coup in a lot of ways for us to be showing this artist whose profile is rapidly on the rise. And like you mentioned, Pia is very much inspired by her environment. And so she's looking at Mexico, at the way that billboards are reformulated there as an inspiration for pattern and abstraction and all of these kind of different of designs. And so now Pia will be responding to Zaha Hadid and the architecture within Cincinnati. And so she'll be kind of doing a play on Frank Stella's copper paintings, but also taking them into that sort of very geometric, linear environment and doing a play on that, the way that pattern, color, abstraction all start to meld together and work and live within that space. There's also going to be an opportunity where there's a hanging kimono. You put that on and you navigate the space within this artwork. So in a lot of ways, you become the brush that animates the space.
Well, looking ahead to 2016, you have an important exhibition opening in February with the work of a Korean-American artist. Tell us something about that.
I'm very excited about this. This is Do Ho Sa. And like you say, he's become quite celebrated, moved to the United States in 1993. But his artwork is very much about these meditations on place and home, migration, and really all the places that he's lived. He's kind of a globetrotter in that he's from Seoul, South Korea, has lived in New York, in Berlin, in London, and a lot of major cities. And all of those apartments, those structures, those homes become the literal inspiration for these fabric architectures that he hangs within the space. And so in the CAC, you're going to see a three-story corridor that hangs within our space and really establishes a dialogue with Zaha Hadid, with the building, and deeper meditations upon what settlement and migration mean today. It's going to be a beautiful installation, and I'm so excited for people that don't know Do Ho's work to see it for the first time. It's incredibly a resonant experience.
We can just touch briefly on another show of the upcoming year, which opens in April, in which two artists independently respond to one of the great works of literature. What's going on in Chasing the Whale and Other Endless Pursuits?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the CAC, we love to engage and indulge in these big spectacles. But with Chasing the Whale and Other Endless Pursuits, we're bringing two more unheralded artists, Matt Kish, who is actually a librarian in Dayton, and Robert Del Tredici, who has done a number of different things, but is kind of a professor and anti-nuclear activist in Montreal. But both of them have spent a number of very obsessive years translating, documenting, interpreting Herman Melville's Moby Dick into this serial number of drawings. And so we're going to be really highlighting that kind of obsessive practice that just continually visually interprets these iconic literary landmarks and gives them an entirely new life within the field of visual art.
Thanks so much, Stephen, for coming in to talk with us about what's going on and what's coming up at the CAC.
My pleasure, Jane. Anytime.
We've been talking with Stephen Matisio, curator at the Contemporary Arts Center. For a link to more information, see wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jane Durrell.